It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 339, entitled Living Up to the Title of Doom Speaker. It was recorded on Monday, the 7th of July, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by Remke Stavris, by Tim Nash, and by Zach Stepek. Apologies, right at the outset, about 15 minutes in, the recording software completely collapsed. We restarted it, and hopefully you won't be able to tell too much, but there will be a little bit, about 15 minutes or so in, where obviously we've kind of cobbled the two bits together. Like I say, hopefully it won't be too noticeable. But what did we talk about this week? Well, Tim has a new security course, which he's plugging. Remkes has a new performance optimization course, which he is plugging. I have got a new plugin coming out. It's called Podcaster Plus, and I would like some beta testers. Have a listen. There'll be a link in the show notes for that as well. And then we talk about the WP Awards, which is coming up next. We talk about whether or not WordCamp US is going to be something which is very low on numbers. What will that event eventually look like? Tumblr, the migration to WordPress, that appears to have been put on hold. The developer blog for WordPress would like some help. There's a new plugin called Better Loops. And we talk about a piece that Tammy has brought, saying maybe we should pause the idea of having default themes. There's a load of security stuff and some interesting chit chat with the panel as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. I am so sick of that music. I've probably done that about 800 times now. It was bad when it was first played. Now 800 times in, I just want to chew my own legs off. Good morning.
I went the last 10 seconds.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I really do.
Yeah. It's This Week in WordPress. It's episode number 339. Gosh, that's a lot. And we're joined today by three fabulous guests. Thank you very much for joining us. I'll introduce them in a moment. I'll get all the housekeeping-y bits out of the way first, if that's all right with you three. First thing to say is that if you're joining us, thank you. There's a variety of places you could be. I think it goes out on X, it goes out on Facebook group and, you know, stuff like that. The best place to go, oh, Remkes has gone all narrow. I don't know if that's the same for everybody else, but it's, look at that. It's stay like that, go on, it'll go. So yeah, if you're joining us on any of those different locations, the best place, honestly, I would recommend you go is wpbuilds.com/live. The reason for that is because if you go there, then you can comment more easily than anywhere else, basically. wpbuilds.com/live. If you go to that page, then on the right, if you're on a desktop, is a box and it's copied and pasted directly in from YouTube. So you need to be logged into your Google account and you can comment over there. If you're watching the video over there, there's a little option which you can use an anonymous sort of system. It's the one that comes with this platform. You don't need to be logged into any account. You just type your name in and you're off to the races. So there you go. Share it with your friends, neighbors, guinea pigs, whatever. wpbuilds.com /live. Zach nodded the guinea pigs suggestion. Please share it with the guinea pigs. With a tear in my eye, actually, I'm talking about guinea pigs. We had a guinea pig for about 6 years, and sadly it passed away this week. So,
did you eat it?
I don't even know how to respond to that. It did look like a potato. I have to say
the way you respond to it is no.
No, I didn't eat it. It was very sad. It was a well cared for guinea pig. Honestly, what the heck are we talking about? Let's get rid of that and introduce our guest. The first one to mention is the ever so narrow Remkes de Ruys. Is it me or is Remkes, was he really narrow?
No, he definitely was narrow.
Yeah, there was something going on there. He was narrow.
So Remkes, this new weight loss program is going to be available to you all.
He's got a course, and it's not about speeding your website up. It's about sodden weight loss. He's gone. No doubt he'll be back in a minute, but I'm going to introduce him in his absence anyway. Remkes de Ruys is a WordPress... Oh, he's back. There we go. Remkes de Ruys is a WordPress performance specialist focused on speed, security and scalability. As co-founder of Scanfully, he helps site owners stay ahead of performance and security issues. He also runs Within WordPress, a newsletter and podcast for those passionate about building better WordPress sites. And he shares those insights on YouTube. And you're going to find out in a few short moments about something else that he's been involved in. We'll do that in a minute, if that's all right, Remkes. Happy to have you. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. We're also joined by Tim Nash. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
I never know what Tim's going to write. It's always novel and interesting. So here we go. Tim Nash, it says the following. Doomed, lots of O's. Doomed is what you will be if you don't have Tim to guide you, a speaker, mentor, and security consultant, as well as a professional doom speaker. You should patent that word. That's a good word. You can follow him at various social media sites and timnash.co.uk to be significantly less doomed, more mildly terrified, with a side of what the... And then there's an ellipsis. I'm supposed to fill that in with an F word, I suppose. But... I'm not going to. Anyway, how are you, Tim? You all right?
I'm doing all right. Very nice. The wonders of what ChatGPT thinks of. Write a scary bio, and that was the best it came up with.
Oh, that's not too scary. Okay. And then we're joined by Zach Stepek. How are you doing, Zach?
Doing well, thank you.
Zach is the Director of Partner Programs at Big Scoots, co-host of DevPulse, expanding the stack on openchannels.fm. That was Do the Woo until recently, but it's now been rebranded as openchannels.fm. And he is also a music photojournalist. What's been the latest project? Where have you been?
I went and shot a show last week in Joliet, Illinois. That was a fun show. My friend Taylor, the guitarist for Taproot, was there with his other band, Riding with Killers. I'll be out this month in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, doing 4 days worth of festivals.
Oh, nice.
Festivals in a row. I'll be on the road with Taproot, and it'll be a great time.
It's that kind of time of the year in the UK. All the festivals fall about now. We just had the big one. There's one here called Glastonbury. And it was it last week? Yeah, not the weekend that was gone, but the weekend before that. It's ridiculously huge these days. I went many years ago and it was big. Now it's like honestly, it is genuinely like a big town. It's like 200,000 people. That's 200,000 attendees. And then all the staff and the people that are managing the event, I think it touches like a quarter of a million. It's pretty insane. And they always show pictures in the newspaper the day after everybody's left. And it's quite sad, actually. You know, you've got this whole vibe of like lovely, and then it's just total chaos. You know, everything left, just beer cans everywhere and stuff like that. But anyway, there you go. There's me doom speaking. You're joining us for a WordPress podcast, so we'll get into that in just a moment. If there's any comments, though, I'll raise those first. Hello, says Courtney. Well, she's given me some emojis. Cup of coffee. Looks like a sunrise and a hello wave. Hello, Courtney. Nice to have you with us. I'll pass over Tim's because he's right there. Greetings from Atlanta, says James Lau, Georgia. 81 degrees Fahrenheit, 27 degrees centigrade here. It is not like that here. And he says good morning to everybody. Courtney writing words this time. I suggest a new intro composed by AI. I did try that. I did do it. What was that? What's that service called? Suno, is it? The one that makes the songs. And it was pretty good. But I could only cope with that for like 2 weeks. So I went back to the really bad one. AI and music is not, they're not good bedfellows. Lawrence Ladomery, hello. Good evening, he says. Nice to have you with us. Cammy, good morning. Sorry your family lost a beloved pet. Yeah. It was my son discovered it, and he's never seen a dead thing ever. And it was quite, he stood motionless for a bit. It was quite a thing to watch. Anyway, moving on. Taco, Glastonbury did make the international news, but not in the best way. What about? What was going on?
The whole controversy with the BBC and what was people being said, and they decided to stream it anyway and all that jazz.
Yeah. I guess with that, though, if you're streaming it live and the performer, like, it's not like something going on in the crowd, is it? If
they weren't streaming it live.
They weren't streaming it live.
All of these events are on at least a minute, if not 2 minute delay. Okay. And there is literally a lawyer standing by the stream going, yep. And clearly he was asleep at certain points when, yep. What did they just say?
Right. Okay. Oh, gosh. And then BBC are in a bit of bother for that. Okay. Paul Bedford. Hello, Paul. I don't know that we've met. Greetings from midwinter to South Africa. Sunny, but only 19 degrees. It's the middle of summer here, Paul, and it's about 18 degrees. You've got nothing to complain about. Tammy Lister is joining us. Afternoon. It's actually shining again here. Yeah, same here. Sorry, we're going to go through all of these because it's nice. Monday morning, says Marcus Burnett, catching some of the live for the first time in a while. Lovely to see you all. You too. Nice to have you with us, Marcus. Taco's back. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And Tammy, last one. Who'd have thunk it? Glastonbury, a festival founded on counterculture, having alternative political views. Yeah, well, there you go. And a load of trash, it would seem. Honestly, a good business would be to go to Glastonbury the day after it finishes and just collect the tents. There seem to be like thousands of perfectly serviceable tents that people just can't be bothered to collapse because, you know, they themselves are in a state of collapse, so they can't do it. So they kind of leave. And
you must feel right at home.
Yeah, well, that's right. Okay, there we go. So let's get on to the show that we're supposed to be doing. So this is us, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy going there, we've got all of our content. Put your email into this little box, and we will send you a couple of emails each week, one on a Tuesday. The reason that we do this is to parcel it up. We're going to parcel this up into a podcast, and we'll put it out tomorrow morning. So that's the first email that you'll get Tuesday morning. But then you'll also get one on a Thursday when we do our regular podcast, which is usually an interview with me and somebody else. The most recent one was all about a plugin that's come out of Elementor. It's called Ally. And it's not an Elementor thing, if you know what I mean. It's not bound to the page builder, but it's to make your site more, well, hopefully, that's the intention anyway, to make your site more accessible. So you can go and find out about that. But obviously, there's a whole bunch of other content, 427 episodes all the way down. So that's the first thing. There is the episode there. And the next thing to me, I have such mixed feelings about this. I'm such a bad self-promotionist, but I feel I've got to do this. So forgive me, I'm going to promote myself. Not me. I've joined forces with a lovely chap in the UK called Dan Maybe. He's huge. He looks just like Remkes, only he's a tiny bit bigger, I discovered from a recent photo on social media. And Dan and I have decided that we're going to start a plugin, and it's called Podcaster Plus. And the idea of this is that if you've got a podcast, and at some point in the future, it'll just be audio, you know, like MP3 files and things like that. But for now, we just decided to do it as a podcast thing. If you've got a podcast, the idea is that in a few quick clicks, you'll be able to put the podcast episode into your WordPress website, which sounds fairly ordinary, because that bit is quite ordinary. But what we've decided to do is atomize the player. So the podcast player is made up of, like, I don't know, I think it's 11 different little blocks. So you can move the play button around in the block editor. You can move the forwards and backwards slider. Essentially, you can customize the player to be whatever the heck you want. If you just want a play button, that's fine. If you want a play button that, I don't know, sticks to the top of the page, you can do all of that kind of stuff. And we're after some beta testers because we're at the point where we think it's basically baked enough. So if that sounds like your thing, the URL for that is podcasterplus.com/beta, we say in the UK, BETA, podcasterplus.com/beta. And we're after people testing it and breaking it and giving us feedback. So if that sounds like you, we'd appreciate that. I don't know if
before Nathan moves on, I've had a chance to see it. it's very good.
Thank you.
When he says, oh, there's a little bit of, you can do a little bit of customization. Now, you can do massive amount of customization, and it's got pre-built in patterns. So you can, if you do just want to like just pop on a singular block, you can do that by just dropping a pattern on. But the amount of customization that you can get into, really, there isn't another player, video or audio player. And when I got to sit down with them and sort of have a play with it, I was very much like, so when's this turning into an audio player? Turning into a video player so I can use it, because really there just isn't anything else on the market that works with the block editor quite like this.
So Tim, you also have something to promote. Again, cough.
Like Nathan, I really struggle with self-promotion, so to have to do it twice is sort of like all bright red and like I've been on the show a few times. I've said, talked about WP Security 101. It's WP Security, then 101, the numbers.com, if you. And it's a WordPress security course covering all the fundamentals of WordPress security. There are going to be in total 52 52 topics over 9 modules. And the good news is the first module will be up on Thursday.
Nice.
This means that if you'd been to the WP Security 101 site and had previously gone down to the form at the bottom that says join the waiting list, it would have taken you to a nice thing that said, thanks, and then you'd have got an email from me and all that jazz. Now, if you go down to that form and fill it in, you still get told, thank you, I still really appreciate you joining the mailing list, but you can also buy the course on a pre-order. So the pre-order price is £145. That will be going up on Thursday. So when we go live, we will be putting it up to the price to £195. So this is your chance to buy the course early. And yep, the first module should be available on Thursday. There's been some delays because, you know, I like built an LMS system to go with it and stuff like that.
We can't be quite shocked now. We're not.
I know.
We know that.
Things are progressing, and buy yourself access.
I heard somewhere, Tim, that you're not releasing the first module first, though.
Did you? How do you know these things, Zach? That's amazing. Yeah, that's a really good point. So rather than starting with module one, like any normal course would do, we're doing straight into module two, which is all about users. And the main reason to do that was because module one might bore you, and I really wanted you to actually get something useful out of the course. And to be honest, one of the biggest sections is on users, and the second one is on updates and managing updates. So those two modules are the ones that I really want people to focus on. So I thought I'd release that first, and then we can go back and do module one in a couple of weeks' time.
Nice. Right. I'm just going to read into the record for the benefit of people who are listening to this when we release it as a podcast, who have no idea what just happened. We had to record this twice. A few minutes ago, the original recording totally failed, and we're basically redoing Tim's promotional bit. And so Zach saying what he just said and Remkes being able to say what he just said is because they know what Tim was about to say. So there is that. But, you know, roll with the punches. The URL for that, I'll read it out, wpsecurity101.com. So the numerals 101, wpsecurity101.com. Go and check it out. And thank you, Tim, for coping with being able to promote your thing twice. I really appreciate that. Another promotional thing that we got is Remkes has been busily working on this. I'll show it on the screen. It's a slightly longer URL, but I'll read it into the podcast anyway. So it's within WordPress. Sorry, it's not. It's within wp.com/courses/make-wordpress-fast. That obviously gives you some idea of what this is about. So this is your Make WordPress Fast course. Tell us more.
I mean, there's a lot to tell, Nathan. What would you like me to tell?
Well, give us the MVP. If you could, if I was stood next to you in a lift, what would be your little quick elevator pitch?
That's pretty much the text you see there on the left. in normal text, it's a full stack WordPress performance and optimization course. Full stack meaning I'm covering all the layers, not the optimize your assets and CSS and JavaScript type of stuff. I want you to understand that there is way more going on in making a site fast. Because most people see making a site fast, they see that as I'm turning on caching and I'm tweaking and configuring a little bit and I'm calling it a day. And then, you know, when their visitors see an uncached version, they are met with a slow site. And you go, how did that happen? Because I just turned on caching. But again, caching doesn't solve performance. It just hides it very eloquently. So my goal is for you to fully understand all the controls you have to your availability, make the right choices, and build fast as a foundation.
Done. That's you. Yeah, that's the pitch you want to give us. So let me go through that again. Within wp.com/courses/make-WordPress-fast. I guess I really put Remkes on the spot there, because if you were to do what I'm about to do, and apologies for people that are listening, if you were to scroll on Remkes's course, you would see that, I mean, really, it's soup to nuts, this. So there are three modules which are sort of illustrated in more depth, open, but there are 25 modules in total, each of which has got multiple lessons inside. I'm guessing this is all video content when it's finally launched, is it?
The majority will be video, but okay. I will have every asset I mention inside the video available as text as well as the transcript, so... whatever your favorite learning style is, I'll try to accommodate as much as possible.
A question to both of you. How much of your lives have you put on hold to do what you just did? Because honestly, when you look at these courses, you know, you just sort of scroll past it and you think, oh, that looks nice and what have you. But my guess is that you've been at this for possibly years. I don't know.
Yeah. So I started preparing this one over a year ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I have owned the domain name WP Security 101 for over 6 years.
Okay, that gives you some idea. So you're at the moment, Remkes. Is this actually available? That is to say, if I purchase pre-launch, this, yeah, okay.
It's a pre-launch because I still have to finalize it, but I'm let's call it 95% sure. These are the modules. These are the lessons. Sure. There might be some reconfiguring here and there, but the essentials will not change and there will only be additions. But sometimes as you're building a lesson, you think, maybe I should combine this with the other one and maybe I should prefix this with... So you end up playing more than you anticipate with the sequence and, you know, what is grouped together and stuff like that. But it will be released in September.
Oh, okay. So yours is a little way off.
If you purchase it now, it's with a good discount. And I specifically am also targeting agencies. So there's an agency and license as well, which gives you quite a few more extra perks.
Okay. So once more, within wp.com/courses/make-WordPress-fast. Thank you very much for bringing both of those.
Well, thank you for highlighting it.
Well, no, and also quite nice little comment apropos of exactly what we've just been talking about. Caspers. Hello, Caspers. Saying, love seeing new and modern educational content created in the WordPress space. That's a nice thing to hear.
And Caspers also has a course.
Yep, he does.
Okay. Obviously, you know, thank you for that comment. That's really nice. Thank you very much. Zach, have you got anything you want? Have you got a new course?
No, but we are working on our new agency program over at Big Scoots, which I'm heading up, and we are going to be focusing on some educational content. So, you know, we're looking for people who want to share with other agency owners. And I think it'll be a really neat program, filling kind of the void that's been left by some of the things that started during the pandemic that aren't really happening anymore, like the agency happy hour from GoWP and some of the other things that have been, you know, missing, in my opinion, lately. So we're going to be trying to set up at least a once monthly thing for agency owners to get together.
Nice.
And talk. So that's coming soon.
When you've got all that, let me know, and we'll see what we can do to get it in front of the audience. The honestly, you, obviously with the two courses that you've just made, I know this is a ridiculous comment, but how nice it is that you're in the space that allows you to publish the content without all the headache of learning the publishing bit. Imagine that you were doing, I don't know, sewing 101 course or something like that. Oh, yeah, yeah. You've no experience with a CMS, let alone an LMS. At least you get to sidestep all of that.
Yeah, but I'm not going down Tim's route. I am going I am using a LMS pre-built. Okay. I'll just modify what I think I should modify.
Yeah.
Yes. I honestly, there was so many late nights with me going, I just want the button not orange. That's more than I want in my life.
Are you familiar with the important part?
I mean, genuinely, the main problem with most of them was just like, I only have one course. I'm only selling one thing.
Oh, I see.
I don't want to be Udemy. I just want one. They all are brilliant for the right person and the right in the right settings. And for me, it was just like one of those things where it's like, it's not going to work quite how I envisioned. And I'm lucky that I can be in a position to say, actually, I could probably build this quicker than I can hack this.
I think and it's kind of curious.
I'd rather be able to maintain it long term.
Yeah. I think it's kind of curious that you're, both of you, obviously, you're like in Remkes's case, he's going with an LMS platform, but probably has tweaked it quite a bit. But you've got that whole thing of the default is not what you want. And because all of us are in that industry where we know how to modify it here and there, you do kind of get fixated on that the button must be orange and it must be there. Whereas it was probably all right with the default blue and wherever it was, if you know what I mean. But you kind of go down that rabbit hole of modifying, what have you.
I get Tim's choice if it's only just the one course. Because an LMS is, from that definition, you could potentially see it as a little bit too much. It depends on many more factors. But I'm going to launch a whole bunch of courses. So for me, it makes sense to have everything in the LMS, be able to bundle it, have people cross over, there's going to be some free stuff in there as well. You know, I need one platform.
And Reese from the UK, hello, Reese. He says he thinks Tim's got a learning management system that he can sell.
Oh, no.
Number two.
No. Having my sort of original, the very first thing in WordPress was selling a membership software. I am not doing that.
You could go with Casper's solution or Casper's wife's solution. His wife ended up using a password protected page in WordPress for her knitting course.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That works. Why not?
It works, he says. Not sure how many times, how many Tims there are in the world to sell to, though. Just the one. There's only one Tim Nash. We should know this by now. Right. Okay. Moving on. Let's get on to some of the other bits and pieces. We have lost a bit of time to our technical gremlins. Tim brought a piece of content to the table today. And whenever I see the word sudo, I start to panic. Is this an actual panic, Tim? Because normally when we do security stuff, you're always like, this is fine. Don't worry about it. You know, it's rah, rah, rah. But today,
this one might not be so fine. You also, for a lot of people, you can't do anything about it.
Oh, lovely. So, tell us more.
So sudo, which is an underlying part of the Linux system. It's used across both Linux and BSD and quite a lot of other Unixes, including macOS. There was some code introduced a couple of years ago to do something that absolutely no one cared about, which was to do with cheroots. Nobody used this piece of code at all. Only problem is that if you could manipulate it so that you could basically get the thing to execute what you wanted before it checked the permissions. It effectively allowed you to sudo even if you didn't have the sudo rights to do so. Now, you didn't really have to do anything particularly complicated to do that. You just needed to put a couple of files in your home directory and then run a single set of commands, and it would execute what was in your file, thinking it was trying to authenticate you, and instead it would just execute it as a root user. Which, if that sounds scary, it is. It's really terrifying. Now, the thing is, the way they've solved this is they fixed it, and then they've put in a thing saying we're deprecating that feature because nobody used it.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
And this is a core bit of how Unix systems work. It's not actually there by default. It's a separate library that is brought in and you have to install it. Though most distros, it comes already pre-installed. But we use sudo everywhere. And it's old, it's clunky, it's not memory safe, and it has bugs and a very tiny team who work on it, which is going to sound oddly familiar whenever we talk about serious security problems in the Linux system world. It always says the same thing. It's always this little pillar that's holding up the entirety. And this is just another example of sudo. Now, the good news is that it's patched, and so hopefully it's out. The bad news is that nobody updates their systems. So you're going to have hosting companies who will have sudo installed, but they'll be running a version of Red Hat that may be a couple of years old, and they're not running regular patches. And so they've got it just when they've probably got it installed just when this feature was introduced and the bug occurred, but won't yet patch it for another 2 or 3 years down the line. So you can put your own word in there, but then they're screwed. For anybody else, if you run your own systems, update sudo, you should be absolutely fine. Alternatively, there are now several alternative sudo libraries, including sudo rs, the other one's gone out of my head, but there's another very popular sudo alternative, and then systemctl has its own sudo alternative inside it as well. So maybe it's time to take that sudo and go, do we actually want to still use it? Maybe we should just go back to using su.
I've no idea what he just said, but it all sounds very, all very right. important. I'm
you're screwed. It's, bye.
Exactly. However, I have put the caption on the screen, which says live Doom speaking. I thought it was important to identify the, because you don't often Doom speak. You always talk about Doom speaking. Most of it is very positive, but this was live Doom speaking. However, I have discovered there's an audio track built into this platform called Fail. It's 3 seconds long. Let's see what it sounds like. Wasn't that good, was it, really? Not worth it.
Just because I spotted a comment from Courtney. This affects anybody who runs sudo, if it had the expected versions. It's not just very specific. I used Red Hat as the example because that just happens to be the one that most Linux systems using hosts will be using under the hood, because they'll be using CentOS normally under the hood, or Element Linux, etc. Your Ubuntu's, your Alma Linux, across the board, your Nix systems, all of those will be affected. Your very latest versions of Ubuntu won't, because they're running a different, or they're trialing sudo RS, so they wouldn't have been affected. But yeah, most Linux systems are affected. A lot of FreeBSD and BSD systems are also affected. You'll see a patch.
Okay. I'm going to try another sound. This one's called Painful Ow, which I feel sums up this moment, the Doom speaking. Here we go. I mean, anything
happen? I think that sums it up.
Is that it? Oh, it's terrible. I'm not going to bother with any more of those. That's awful. Okay, let's move on. Let's take that caption. Oh, where's the captions? There we go. Let's see if we can get Courtney's caption gone. Da-da-da. Let's put Patricia's one up instead. She says she's just joined and she's watching at times 2 speed. Don't watch for too long, Patricia. The show disappears very soon. Right, let's go to the next bits and pieces that we got. What have we got here? That's Tim's course. So let's go to here. This is Davinder. Davinder's every year for the past few years, he's launched his WP Awards, and he does it really a long time in advance. So he gets lots and lots of opportunity for people to vote on all the different bits and pieces. He's after some sponsors at the moment, but he's also launching very soon, in a couple of weeks, the nominations. I don't know if this is your thing, but it seems to, you know, gather lots of interest on social media and things like that. But he's got a couple of slots if you're a sponsor looking to get in front of a pretty big audience, I think, with this award ceremony. You can have a look at the page. It's the wpweekly.com/awards. Couple of spots for sponsorship, but also if you want to stick your nominations in, you know, it's things like best page builder and best theme and best plugin and all of those kind of things, but it's deep and broad as well. So if you want to look into that, you certainly can. Okay, anybody got anything on that, or should we just move on? I will just move on in that case. Now, I don't know if what I'm about to say is true, But the this is a story about WordCamp US. And WordCamp US, if memory serves, the organization team began the process of organizing it later than would be typical. I don't really honestly know the reasons behind that, but it sort of feels like it got stalled and then it got started again not that long ago. Ticket sales, I don't know exactly how they're going, but it feels to me at the moment as if they are possibly lower than they would typically be at this point. I think they're into the, you know, couple of hundred territory. And I'm thinking normally it would be maybe up into the sort of thousand territory by now. And so it feels like maybe there's a bit of a push in the from the people organizing this to sort of get awareness out. And I just thought this was a curious piece of content. So rather than the usual call for speakers, call for sponsors, they're updating their blog. And this one is this piece is just trying to emphasize the fact that, you know, if you are a sponsor and you would like to attend an event like this, the sponsor hall is quite a unique place. You know, if you go to a normal tech conference, it can be, I don't know, a little bit dry. You get the feeling that you're being constantly sold to and what have you. I can speak from experience. If you go to a WordCamp, like a WordCamp Europe or a WordCamp US, the sponsor hall is actually a good place to hang out. And, you know, it can be quite entertaining. You meet old friends and all that kind of thing. So that's what this one was about, really. I think they're doing a job trying to make it so that that event is popular. But yeah, anybody got any commentary on that one?
I mean, you could try and tell people that the sponsor hall is not a place that you're going to be flogged to, but let's face it, sponsors pay for the event. And they're paying for the event. Some of them do not realize that it is a complete loss leader and genuinely think that they might get money out of it. So, yeah. I feel that in those people go there with the intent to sell to you.
Yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it? Because I think
quite rare though.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just read out the comment that Andrew Palmer made. He said he bought his ticket to go yesterday. Andrew's working with Atarim now, and 300 plus sold so far. So I don't know if that represents maybe at this time, you know, this many months or weeks before.
Courtney says 319 total tickets sold. 37 of them are without payment, i.e. volunteers, sponsors, staff, etc.
So we're into the high 200s of attendees.
319.
But if you took out the 37, if you know what I mean. Yes, yeah, so I'll put that on the screen. So 319. Sorry, Tim, each time we do this, your face disappears. Wait a sec. Yeah. It doesn't actually disappear. Yeah. Don't be that alarmed. 319 tickets sold, 37 of them without pay. So into the high 200s. That is a curious number. And not to paint a downer on it, does that feel like, are we into sort of scary territory for that event, if you know what I mean? Does it feel
not
like
yet. Not yet.
It's low,
yet.
Though. It is yeah. low for now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the whole thing is on the ramping up side of things. What potentially might be more of an issue is that it's end of August, which at least for the European crowd, which is I think still significant, is in the middle of vacation season. So that's probably not helping. But that said, I would expect quite a bit of bump in certainly in this month coming, and in the last couple of weeks, because you know I've organized a few of these things. They do the hockey stick thing.
Okay. All right. So we're the normal run of events would be kind of like where we're at ish. And then
you have an initial blip.
Okay.
Originally for WordCamp Europe, we try to solve that, get a little bit more hype by doing batches. Batches have now become entirely useful because it's just being done for the sake of doing batches, which if you just release and do not do the extra stuff, it's just that. But I feel for WordCamp US, it actually might be beneficial to do batches and make more noise about the whole thing.
So
I think on social, they actually do. They have somebody manning the social accounts and actually engaging, which the WordCamp US accounts have never done before. So there is a change.
Yeah, so Tammy makes the point, contrary to what I was thinking, based upon what I've seen normally. She says most WordCamps do content like this. Maybe it's just a confection of what I've seen before. But also, if what Remkes has said is true, if they're making more of an effort on the social platforms and what have you, maybe there's something there. Maybe it's being taken more seriously. Taco makes the point. Can we also talk about how much the WordCamp US sponsors pay per attendee?
I mean, right, that's $75,000 for the top spot. Imagine if you have, and if you, given that they're saying they're looking for 1,500 attendees, that's sort of like what they're talking about in terms of like the size of the conference, $75,000 to talk to a fat 1,000, but you don't buy that sponsorship unless you're expecting something amazing back, or you're willing to give, or you're writing it off entirely.
So ROI is not really the point, even if it was a gangbuster ticket sale event.
I don't think it ever has been.
No. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
But even the smaller ones where they are, let's say you are, I don't know, you go for your author sponsorship, your smaller little booth, that's $15,000. Now, at that price, if you're a small company and you're thinking, I'm going to go to WordCamp US and make it. This is where I'm going to launch my thing. That's an expensive way to do it. And comparing that to, given that if you were to sort of like do a proper return on your investment and look at the other WordCamp events, you're going to be looking there and go, well, hang on. WordCamp Netherlands has got 500-600 people at it. Wow. You know, these sort of like...
350.
But you know, but your sponsorship levels are like a tenth of the.
There's a simpler comparison. Just go to the pricing of what WordCamp Europe costs versus WordCamp US. WordCamp Europe gets about double the projected visitors. So 20, well, not entirely. That was like 2,100 in Basel. But previous editions have been well over 2,500. And yet the sponsor, the amounts have never been in the vicinity of what WordCamp US is asking all the time.
It's kind of interesting, this, isn't it? I mean, obviously, we're talking about all of this. My hope is that it is a barnstorming success, but obviously It is where it is at the moment. So Andrew Palmer makes an interesting point. Somebody commented in the post status, I'm guessing Slack, that it's the start of the school, I'm going to say term, for people in the US. So that's a bit of a double whammy. If it is literally the first week, then that's kind of going to rule quite a few people out. You know, if it was like the second or third week, presumably the kids are back to school. And as a parent, you might feel that you can take your foot off the pedal a little bit more. But, you know, if you've got kids and they're going to a new school or they're just beginning the school year, you've got that anxiety, haven't you? So that might cause you to take your foot off the pedal. Oh, here's Courtney. That's back to school week for Northern States of America, end of summer vacation. Yeah, and it is basically slap bang in the middle of a summer holiday in the UK. It's properly in the middle. So I imagine for a lot of people, they would have booked their vacation many, many months ago. So it's curious timing. So maybe the timing isn't really helping. And then Courtney also makes the point that obviously there's the political situation in America, she says, and many internationals are not advised to travel to America at this time. Having been, says Courtney, to other tech conferences lately, I saw pictures of you at the Open Web something. I can't remember what it was, Summit, I believe. I'd love to see a comparison what the sponsors receive commonly elsewhere for the price. Tools that, and it's truncated, I'll just read it. Tools that provide leads and what can and cannot be claimed. Tammy says, I will add at other conferences, I have been to sponsors certainly sell more and get more than at WordCamps. Tim, as you share your points, it sounds like the value for money is much more like a contribution rather than a sponsorship.
Which is a very awkward thing, because what are you actually contributing to? You're not contributing to necessarily the wider WordPress thing, organization, setup, whatever you want. You are literally contributing to an event that at the moment 319 people will go to. And some money in a pot for a very good party, I hope, if you're at that sort of price.
Yeah.
So what is the value back for the sponsor, both into not just in the return on investment and tangible cost, but even if they're thinking of this as their contribution, there's still got to be a return on that contribution, not in terms of even recognition, just like, are we giving this money to the right people? could we take that 75,000 and put it into the WordPress collective, for example? Could we put it into hiring a dev to go and work? Could we put it into sponsorship? And when you start having those conversations, these events look less appealing. And when they start looking less appealing, you're going to see sponsors stepping back, especially as the audience gets smaller and smaller, and we end up with this cycle going downwards. So it's a really slippery slope. If we want to have big events like this, they have to be big, or we have to completely rechange expectations, which is something that's been talked about a lot, about whether or not we should be having these style events.
Taco makes an interesting point about WordCamp Europe in Poland next year. The anticipation, I think, is already... I mean, I get this feeling that the crew that are set up to do the poll, I feel like they're really hungry for it, if you know what I mean. You know, they've got all these promotional videos out already and like a whole year ahead of schedule. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? And also, in another bit of conflicting planning... Didn't realize this, but Taco says the Open Source Summit EU, not one that I know about, also conflicts with WordCamp Europe US. Okay, so that's another reason that the numbers are possibly down. Gosh, there's a lot to get through here. Like I said, it sounds like we're sort of banging on the head of WordCamp US. That's not really the point. We're just trying to make the story available. So I'm hoping it's a real success. I'm going. So.
As am I.
Yeah. Zach, you going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Right. So just to point out, we now have a 1% of the people going are on this grid.
Oh, Tim, if you come, we'll have like a close to 1.25% percent. Anyway, I hope it's a great success. It goes without saying. I love those events, and I really, really want it to be a success. Courtney mentions that the WordCamp Asia team are already in meeting. Right, we're going to have to get through a lot of this very, very quickly. We probably won't get through all that we meant to get through because of the technical gremlins that we had earlier, because I've got a hard stop at the usual time. Let's move to this. A little while ago, it was announced that Tumblr, obviously bought by Automattic. I'm going to say Automattic. Maybe that's wrong. Okay, Zach's nodding his head. Thank you. Bought by Automattic feels like a couple of years ago, something like that. And the intention soon announced after the purchase was that it was all going to be moved over to WordPress installs. That's now been stopped. My intuition would be that, you know, it's not a priority. What with everything that's been going on in the WordPress space over the last 6 or 8 months, it's more like coming on to a year now, isn't it? Gosh, wow. It's been mothballed, basically. Matt Mullenweg has said that I think this is something that will be hopefully revisited because it will be, he describes it as cleaner. He says it's still want to do it. It's just cleaner. But right now we are not working on it. So if you had an expectation of that and getting your Tumblr on the Fediverse, no, they're going to put that kind of Fediverse app, they're going to put the Fediverse stuff into the Tumblr code base instead of doing it on the WordPress way. Anybody want to comment on that? Free now?
Shocked. Absolutely. What? I mean,
you're sarcastic, aren't you?
Yes, I am being sarcastic. Yeah. When they announced it and then they did their big appeal for, would brave souls come and help us? And it's like, this is just a can of worms that just anybody with any architectural background would have gone, let's not do that.
Does Tumblr actually make money now?
No, they lose money. He actually says in the piece, he literally says that it is a loss. It's a loss-making project. Let me just try and find the line.
It's the last paragraph there.
Thank you. No, Mullenweg also reiterated that Tumblr is not profitable. I have this feeling that Matt himself has got like a personal affinity with Tumblr. Maybe he's got a heritage of using it and admiring it and what have you. So maybe there's components.
Post formats.
What? Oh, is that? Yes. Yep. Of course they had post formats, didn't they? You could be like a video or an audio or whatever. And then that got pulled into WordPress. Did anybody use post formats?
Original WordPress drivers.
Yeah. Okay.
I did. I for a while I used it and I liked it.
Oh. Okay.
My second plugin I ever wrote was to create custom post formats, and then WordPress.org wouldn't let it be submitted because it went against somebody's opinion on how they should exist.
We now know. We now on. Know your angle on this story as well.
So yes.
Okay. Okay. So there you go. I mean, there's not much to that really, apart from the fact that it is no longer happening. Right. We'll try and go through this quickly again. Developer.wordpress.org /news is the location of the developer blog, and Mary Baum has written a piece basically asking for some contributions. They're particularly asking for people who have knowledge and writing experience with React. So they're looking for articles a bit like the following titles: React best practices and pitfalls, writing and running automated tests for blocks, linting all the things in an IDE, and extending user profiles natively with data views. I'm guessing that that is the gamut of what they're after. But they do say, you know, if you'd like to write something else, you certainly can. So, you know, that's been a really, really well-maintained and updated blog of late, the likes of Justin and yep. Ryan Welcher and Nick Diego and people like that. So they're obviously wanting to extend it. So you can join on. Again, links will be in the show notes tomorrow. Anybody want to chip in? Should we move on?
Basically saying what you said, the quality has been tremendously high over the last year and a half. It'd be a shame to see that dwindle.
Not just, I mean, obviously not being like the developer that you three are, I can't really say that I could read it and get a great deal of technical understanding from it. But you saying that makes me assume that there is truth in that. But also the cadence of it, it was coming out very, very frequently. And I think that stresses the importance of it. So whether or not they've got, you know, whether or not there is the future where people who have been writing for it are being reshuffled to do other things, I do not know. But obviously they would like some additional assistance. Okay, quick plug for a plugin. Daniel Post. Daniel Post, thank you. Is he from the Netherlands by any chance?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Daniel Post. I'm going to just try and get it right each time. He came out with a plugin not that long ago to integrate WordPress with your Blue Sky account, a little bit like sort of, you know, the Fediverse, the ActivityPub plugin did for the Fediverse. And he's got a brand new plugin, which I thought I'd mention. There is no affiliate links or anything like that on this podcast, but it's called Better Loop. And the idea is that you can create faceted, you know, you can create custom loops that you can put onto your WordPress website, but then you can create like faceted search and filtering and all of that kind of thing. You've seen this 1,000 times before. There's a bunch of plugins that do this, but it was just the notion of building it inside the block editor, which I thought was kind of interesting. I've not experienced a plugin that does it that way. There's always been a separate UI where you have to go in and build all the things and then, I don't know, use short codes or something. So I thought that was quite nice. I haven't played with it, but the demo that he's got on the website looks really credible. There we go. Right at the top, apparently there's 40% off. Whatever the pricing is going to be, there's a 40% discount at the moment. So there you go. Quick plug for that. Anybody, anything?
I've used some of the other solutions that do this in space, and this looks more usable, easier. I think that's an important thing, you know, for end users to be able to, you know, build things like this without as much work. Builders need tools like this that, you know, people who can't build it themselves.
The familiarity of the block editor is becoming kind of, I don't know, it's not for everybody, is it? But it feels like as the weeks and months go by, it feels like more and more people have at least been in there and had a bit of a play. And so hopefully, and that this kind of thing always felt like the promise of blocks to me. It always felt like mini app, I'm going to say apps, like mini apps built inside of a block that would just do loads of heavy lifting. It always felt like that was where blocks were going to shine, not just paragraphs and images and things like that. But anyway, so the URL for that is better. What is it exactly? BetterLoopWP.com. So go and check it out. And 40% off if you.
Daniel is a really lovely guy.
You've met Daniel, have you?
Well, I've met him. And also, he before he went to Automatica, he did a he made a plugin that allowed you to build like thumbnails. And which I think now got brought into Jetpack, but at the time it was like pretty revolutionary. And I believe it's still actually running on my site, albeit a slightly modified version because he stopped supporting it.
Because you can't cope with an LMS, you know, that kind of thing.
Just because, you know, he stopped doing bits with it.
Yeah.
But every time I've interacted with him, I've come away thinking what clever and nice person he is. So
isn't it interesting that in our community, that stuff actually counts? I always think that's fascinating, that you feel that saying those words that Tim just said makes a difference. It does to me. Whenever I go to a plugin, like this is my journey, I go to the homepage, then I go to the pricing page, then I go to the about page. And it turns out that the combination of pricing and about is basically my intuition wrapped up in just two things. Like, you know, I want to know who these people are and what they've done, and being a nice person opens my wallet for some reason. So that's nice. I don't know what's happened to Remkes. He's turned into a circle and a letter R. Maybe he'll be joining us in a moment. Last time he did this, he had a different t-shirt on. Oh, he's on the phone. Oh, right. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I hope it's important. So anyway, we'll have Remkes back in a moment. But there you go. Daniel Post, betterloopwp.com. Right, let's have a look. I'm not going to go through that one. That was one of the ones that I was going to drop if we ran out of time, and we certainly are. This is from the Woo developer blog. I am not a user of WooCommerce, so honestly, this is all a little bit moot for me. But I know that for a very long time, they've been talking about having a dedicated Woo block theme. I don't need to explain that, I hope, to this audience. But it would appear that today is the day. It's going to finally drop, and on the Woo developer blog, a few days ago, they wrote all about it. And it's a fairly long article outlining all of the different bits and pieces that they have put in. There's quite a lot of commentary, actually, for such a piece. So I don't know, if you're a WooCommerce user and you want to experiment with that, hopefully now or very close to now, it will be dropping. But I can't really comment on it because I don't really use it. Do either of you two?
Yeah, so my understanding is that, you know, it's the spiritual block successor to Storefront, right?
Ah, okay, got it.
And I've built some sites on top of Storefront, so it's nice to see a modern option officially from Woo coming. It looks like it's being submitted. They're not going to unveil the name of the new theme until it's been submitted.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
One of the interesting things that I thought was kind of cool is that the GitHub repo for this is now the opposite of what things used to be. So, you know, Woo Themes was acquired by Automattic and created WooCommerce. Now WooCommerce has created a repository in GitHub called Woo Themes.
That's funny. It's full circle.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It does look like they're, you know, really working hard to improve the block-based editing functionality of WooCommerce in general. Product gallery fixes, add to cart fixes, things that are just preparing the way for this entirely block-based theme. And based on some conversations that I've had, I know that they are definitely working on trying to make the blocks that are part of WooCommerce more modular, more block-like than pattern-like.
Yeah.
Which I think is an important thing.
Yeah. So you can go and check this out. There really is quite a lot of detail. When I say detail, there's a lot of links out to the enhancements that have been made. So it links out to the GitHub issue in each of the cases. But the subheadings, if you like, are it's built entirely out of blocks. They're improving the product gallery, making add to cart more extensible, enhancing the product image block, blockifying product details, and getting it ready for theme submission, which presumably will be at some point in the next, I don't know, 12 hours or some.
I totally get what Zach said, but I just love the idea that only in our world could we say something along the lines of making a block more block-like.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. But yeah, you're absolutely right. But it just tickled me.
Yeah. Anyway, WooCommerce users, certainly, I think something that you probably want to gonna check out. Okay, no time for that. We really are running short of time. Tammy's on the line, so let's go for this one. Tammy wrote a piece like yesterday, and I had actually put it in for next week's show because I didn't have time to properly read it, but then Taco brought it to my attention, so I bumped it up into this week's one. And Tammy here has raised a nice theme, by the way, Tammy. Love the boldness of this. What if we pause default themes? She wrote it yesterday, and essentially she goes to great pains at the beginning to say the word is paused. It's not stop, but goes through the whole idea. Do they basically serve a purpose anymore? Times have changed. Obviously, they provide an opportunity. If you launch a default theme every year, it provides that talking point, I guess, is what she's saying. It provides that education piece where the theme can be bound to all of the different things that have been recently launched in WordPress, that kind of thing. But maybe with the cadence that we've got in WordPress at the moment, we don't really need to have something like that. So I don't know if she's proposing that they're paused or just raising it as a possibility. But
I have to agree with her.
Tell us your strong intuition, though. What is it that like brought that out? Why?
So while he's doing that, can you press the recycle button
here? Oh, yeah, really?
That one. Press it. Thank you. Keep doing it while he's talking. Right, Rebecca, stop.
Oh, okay. I'll keep doing that while he talks. Every time he says something sensible, I'll refresh.
Oh, that's not going to be a lot of time.
No, okay. I give up.
I think the whole have a new one for the sake of having a new one because we can. Before 2010, we went with the default theme for ages. Nothing really happened. Meaning, was there really a good reason for a new theme? Maybe, but it never happened. Then from 2010 up until now, we've had default themes pretty much every year, if not every single year. At some point, I think it's less of an added value. I haven't used a default theme since 2013. If anything, I look at them like, oh, how did they solve this particular? How would you do it from a best practices, best implementation standpoint? But you can do that in one single theme anyway. You can go from a 1.7 to a 2.0 and have like, okay, this is how we do it now. And you can find those changes and look at that. But there's a lot of work that goes into building a theme, like a lot of work. I did a podcast recording with Jessica, who's part of not the current one, but the previous one, I think. Yeah, but it's just a lot of strain. And given that that all is become a bit of a pressured thing, why not go with a good theme, continue that along? Because mind you, one of the reasons we had default themes in different variations in the beginning was to show different use cases of how you could use a theme. Some themes were more bloggy, like the 2013 theme, which my mom's blog actually still rocks. So, you know,
nice.
It's a good theme. But, you know, then there was a CMS type of theme. Then there were some really ugly themes that make no sense. Nobody used them. You just stripped all the CSS out and you just did. If you were doing that thing of starting from scratch from a default theme, I just don't think it makes worth the effort anymore.
You're getting kind of like corroborating commentary from Taco. By the way, I probably recycled that good 8 or 9 times. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was good. Having new themes, says Taco, was very useful for a while because they helped us understand how to use new features in WordPress.
Yeah.
But the focus on full site editing, that doesn't exist anymore. And then Tammy, obviously, you know, the creator of this piece and the creator of this wonderful refreshable theme, by the way. My case is proven by this theme pretty much no theme, many defaults and a lot of plugin functionality. It's about redefinition. Courtney saying, I love default themes still to be the source of receiving updates as I make all my customizations in a child theme.
And that still makes sense, but you can have one that lasts for 5 years and just update the versioning in a more major way.
Well, yeah, to counter that, we are asking now that we've had major themes for like the last 12 years. 15 years. And those are receiving updates.
Yeah, also.
Which is a massive amount of work. And by maybe taking a pause and going, well, let's just, you know, we can slowly remove some of those themes that maybe they don't need updates every time we have a new release, every time a new feature comes in. We don't need to backwards compatibly support something in 2013 as a theme. That will massively help reduce that maintenance burden down a little bit. And let's face it, if we are pushing everybody towards full site editing, a default theme in like 2024, which gives some basics and then off you go. The whole promise, or one of the promises of full site editing, was that ultimately it would be very little more than a theme.json file and a CSS. And that's the route we've gone down. Let's accept that and go, like, just have a basic theme.json file and a really nice default set of CSS, and off, let everybody else have the themes back to themselves. Let the creativity flow a little bit more. I'm a bit bored of seeing the same theme over and over again. The person who uses Ollie on every one of his sites.
Courtney says, sorry, modeling my words, but to Tammy's point, pausing could be good. So she mentioned a comment a moment ago where it kind of got half written. Let's focus on templates and patterns for the default. Tammy agreeing, I think, with Tim here. The maintenance burden is massive. And then finally, Taco says, I'm curious how many sites around the world would be running on one of the default themes. I remember Kubrick in the day seeing that everywhere, but ever since then I don't remember really seeing.
I suspect you'll find that the percentage wise are going to be ridiculously high, because every spam site doesn't go and get a new feed.
Are you just guessing?
You could also age the site by the year based on the default theme that it got.
I like the idea of leaning into patterns and things like that as the way of doing it. So anyway, thank you for raising that, Tammy. Maybe we'll revisit that article next week when I've had more of a chance to actually think about it, because it was quite rushed. Right, so we are very quickly running out of time. If you have a brother printer, then panic, basically. Or I don't know, Tim. Firstly, I'd just like to show you this picture of a brother printer. Look at that lovely little printer it is. And then show you this picture. Gee whiz. there's a picture of me panicking because hundreds, it says, of brother printer models have been made unpatchable with this security flaw. Tim, I'm hoping you've read this and can put my mind at rest. Otherwise, I'm going to go and burn that thing sitting behind me over there.
Wait, will you do it live?
No, I wasn't actually going to burn it. Right. I was just going to probably ignore the problem entirely, and I hope that I didn't care. I have to print, for goodness sake.
Every so often, if you've listened to this show or listened to me on other shows, I will go on a little mini rant about the CVSS rating system and how silly it can be. Because anything that is connected, basically, you get a score, and the higher the score out of 10, the more scary it is. And you'll see things with ratings like 5, 3, or 4, and obviously they're really low. And then you see ones at medium, 5, 6, and they look a bit scary. Now, for something like WordPress, we can't get below 5 or 6, because one of the categories that our problem is if it can be exploited over a network, and of course, your WordPress site is on the internet, so it's always going to be over a network. This has got a rating of 9.8.
It's a printer with a 9.8, so that sounds really bad.
Until you think about that. The thing is that you live in a house with a little cheap plastic router down in the bottom that is sitting behind a NAT, and your printer can't immediately be accessed by a bad actor. They have to get onto your network first. However, once they're onto your network, if you haven't changed the default password, your printer will print things. There are lots of abusive things at you, and it will burn up your ink, and maybe they'll make it catch fire and burn your house down.
This is not helping.
But they have to be on the network, and it's not going to exclude. So in the grand scheme of things, yeah, sure. If you're exposing your printer to the internet without with the default password on, really bad things could happen to you. if your printer is in your normal regular network, it has to be compromised. Your network has to be compromised in some way, or you have to be allowing the traffic in to get to the printer in the first place.
Oh.
When you think about that and you start looking at that as like a, you start doing your own assessment, the threat reduces down dramatically. But because you could put this on the internet, it gets that really scary score.
So
still worth changing your password.
Yeah. When I woke up this morning and there was just this strange chap that I'd never met, just loitering around my printer, you know, he'd obviously broken in or something. I don't really know. But he was there. He was wearing some kind of like, you know, mask, and he had this bandit outfit on and stuff like that. He was carrying a clipboard, and there he was in my printer. Do I need to panic now?
Do you have your wallet?
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
Okay. It's all good. Okay. Honestly, you do put my mind at rest. I immediately saw a picture of a printer that I own, and I thought, oh, darn it. This is more stuff to worry about.
Let's change the default admin password, please.
Yeah. For everything.
I didn't even know the printer had a default network password. And have you got this printer? Do you know this printer? It has this tiny LCD screen, about this many. It can fit about 9 characters in it. Using that is like trying to extract unicorn blood out of a stone. In other words, it's quite difficult. I did manage to set a Wi-Fi password in it, but that took me about 8 weeks. I got a hernia from doing it. I didn't actually get a hernia from doing it, brother, in case you're listening and you want to get your lawyers onto me. I didn't. But it was tricky. So stuff like that, I know what you mean, and I know that we should all be cautious of that kind of stuff. But honestly, people like brother, would you just make that process really easy, i.e. the first time I turn it on, will you force me to change the password? That would be helpful, because menus within menus within menus. Anyway, there you go. I don't need to worry quite so much. So this version of me can go, you know, just do something else instead.
Calm down.
Yeah, calm down. Exactly. Right. This last one I want to do. This, I honestly, I think this is so cool. I have my suspicions that AI is not, in the end, going to be our best friend. I don't know if I'm, like, you know, getting a bit worked up about AI. But it looks like the people at Cloudflare have also had similar intuitions, but for a kind of interesting reason. So this piece is by the Cloudflare blog. It's called Content Independence Day, No AI Crawl Without Compensation. And I'll summarize really quick. Years and years ago, when Google came around, the promise was, we will scrape your site, and in return, we will send you traffic. It's a pretty cool relationship. It allowed loads of people to make loads of money putting ads on their site or just getting traffic. You know, it was a great deal. Google did well. We did well. Now, Google is increasingly not doing that. They're showing like snippets on their platform. I think the ratio is now something like 300-1 more difficult, like 300 times more difficult. Anthropic apparently is something like 30,000 times more difficult than it would have been to get people to go to your site. In other words, content creators are no longer being rewarded for their content. It's being consumed, and nobody's getting driven towards your content. Cloudflare, who apparently run something like a fifth of the entire internet through their network, have got this idea that that's also not fair. And so they're going to do something about it. And it's going to be this like pay-to-play model. You're going to be able to decide, I want to be compensated, otherwise you can't see my content. And I can totally see this being a massive dilemma for content creators. Like, do you just charge for it and know that probably you won't get paid? Do you open up the floodgates, never get paid, and probably never get any traffic, but at least it's freely available? I don't know. Technically, I'm sure Cloudflare can pull this off, but I just was curious as to what you, the panel, think about this as an idea.
Well, I think an important thing here to recognize is that we are seeing in the hosting space an increase in traffic overall from these AI crawlers. And it's not a small increase in traffic. It is a significant increase in traffic. And who pays for that bandwidth? In the end, if it's something that's getting crawled constantly by these AI crawlers, the owner of the site has the responsibility to pay for all of that traffic, not the AI crawlers, right?
I guess in the past, though, the more traffic you got, there'd always be a relationship with more traffic, more visits, more potential revenue. But that seems to be falling off a cliff from this article, at least anyway. More traffic now just means a bigger bill with no possible way of being compensated. I'm sure it's more nuanced than that. But and I know that you, Remkes, I know that you're like Team Cloudflare all the way down. At least I think you are. I have a memory that you are. You're liking this kind of stuff?
I think it's... what I like about it is that this provides an option.
Yeah.
Okay. And site owners now have the choice to do something with this, yes or no. I like the principle of this. I like the... Certainly how the service is outlined, it also indicates that if you activate this, there's a chance you get no traffic from those sources. So be aware that that is the consequences you are opting into. But from a general perspective, you can have all sorts of opinions about Google and how they go about their business. At least you were somewhat certain there was some reciprocation. Of, you know, I put stuff out there, you crawl me, and then maybe not, depending on how well I do my job, I get some traffic back. And if you live off of traffic, it's a very different question to answer than I have a blog and it's nice if people can find what they need to find.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've been producing content regularly for a long time, right? So you've got your audience, probably. Obviously, you'd like to grow the audience, but you've sure. already captured an audience, and presumably there's some kind of loyalty there, right?
Yeah.
But if you were to be beginning now,
it's like,
wouldn't it just be like a total black hole that you're throwing your content into? At least it feels like that.
In a way, I think the landscape has changed a lot, because not only is there less reliance on search engines? The place where people look for information has also changed to video, whether that's YouTube or TikTok or Reels or whatever. So everything is quite a bit in flux. So it's as black as a box as it possibly has ever been, I'd say. But what I like about what Cloudflare does, it sort of thinks about what are ways for us to start protecting people who need protection. So there's a way to opt in. There are other initiatives that sort of want to do this as well, but it makes much more sense from my perspective that Cloudflare is doing this because it has the volume, it has the insight, it knows what's happening. They recently published a post about some analysis on what the percentage of AI was and all of that, and it's wild. Zach hinted at it, but it's... On a global scale, it's wild the amount of traffic or resources AI is using, generating, whatever you want to call it. So I think it's wonderful that an organization such as Cloudflare steps up and has an opinion about how it could be mitigated.
Do you know what's really curious in what you just said? It's like Cloudflare's your mate. Yes, like Cloudflare is a pal. They're like looking out for your interest. And I don't have that feeling about the AI companies. I have exactly the opposite feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a feeling almost
how,
like
how about I help with the opposite?
Say again.
How about I help with the opposite? Cloudflare manage about 5 to 15, 20% of web traffic based on volume.
Okay.
What if they're an evil corporation?
Yeah.
What happens when Matthew finds out that actually he really would like a larger paycheck and sells out, which he will, it will happen. We have basically handed over all of the keys, in some cases, quite literally everything. We're throwing things onto their workers, etc. And we are putting ourselves in a really dangerous position where we are advocating handing over our content control to a company on a promise and a whim that they are going to be good this week.
But
they are known for changing their minds. They are known for not following through on things, just like every company.
You can say this about any company.
But that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say. So you are, but in this case, we are, if we give control over content moderation and management and whether or not our content can be accessed to another a company like Cloudflare, we put ourselves on a slippery slope. One of the reasons that we you know, if you've talking now, for some people that might be the right thing to do. They might not be able to do it. They might be doing it through their hosts. But we, the more we hand over, the more control we hand over, the bigger the prize they are, the bigger they are, the quicker that they are going to be turned into the evil company that they inevitably will become. So we gotta, there's got to be a level of caution attached to it. We don't want to hand over everything just to protect ourselves from the problem of AI, which is real. You know, if I look at my own analytics, well over 90% of the traffic to my own sites is AI based, and is that, and I'm doing quite well. Because I actually have occasional human being to come and visit. There are plenty of sites where they won't, that it's much, much higher. I have a single, and frustratingly, I have like a single post that every AI bot on the planet wants to see at least 1,000 times a day. To the point of like, how many people care about customizing Nano? It can't be that many people, because
the AIs love it.
I know they are there. The AI is there going, sod this Vim malarkey. I'm going to customize Nano instead. But it's also, it was all too easy for me to say, oh, I'll block that traffic, or I will try and change the narrative. And I think it's good that we try and find a solution like, well, can we make the AI pay? But I'm just concerned that if we put somebody, hand over that sort of content moderation to somebody else and say, well, you decide whether or not the traffic comes to me, we're putting them in a really scary place, and things can go downhill very quickly.
Sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul, aren't you? In a way. I have the solution, by the way. I am going to root that printer, put a small Linux install on it, connect it to the web. What could go wrong?
It already has a small Linux.
Okay, I'm going to modify this. Yeah, I'm giving up on that joke. It was not very good.
No.
Okay, so, but I hadn't even thought about that. Do you know what's interesting about that is I trusted Google forever. I was full on Google, and now I think that in many ways I want nothing to do with them.
It's, you know, the hint was when they said, when they dropped "Don't be evil."
Yeah,
that was their messaging.
That's the moment.
That was really a good sign, where they were like sitting there going, "Well, what should we? Oh, like, let's just get rid of 'Don't be evil.' That should have been a sign to you."
Yeah, the curious thing is, I view Cloudflare in the same way that I viewed Google. I almost see them like this company that can do no wrong. They just seem to be everything that they produce. And I don't have the history of, you know, like the things, the failed promises and all that kind of thing. So I view them, like, I would give them all of my trust at the moment. I would tick that switch 1,000 times over to allow them to do this on my site. But you're right, Tim. You are absolutely right. We can't trust anybody. The sky's falling in. I'm going to end this podcast now. We're in peril.
Living up to the title of Doom Speaker.
Yeah. I love it. That's today's episode title. What did you just say? Living up to the title.
Nathan has complained I am not suitably doomy enough, gloomy on his show. So I would just like to point out that you're all screwed, and that we should just self-host everything in a cave, hide away from mankind, and we'll all be fine.
Yeah, only go back to farming. That's the only way of achieving anything in life. Okay, there we go. We had loads of other things that we were going to talk about. Unfortunately, we have run very late because we had a massive technical failure in the middle of the show. So I apologize for keeping our guests for an extra 12 or so minutes. I hope that it hasn't eaten into your day too badly. But I would like to thank them. So first of all, thanks to Zach Stepek, for joining us. Thanks to, I nearly said Tim Nash down there, but it's not, it's Remkus. Just feel like if I could just go a little bit lower with that hand, I could rob the top of your head very nicely. Oh, look at that. Are you getting that? Oh, shiny. and Tim Nash, thank you so much.
You're just jealous of my shiny.
Under here, it's chaos, honestly. Yep. Tim Nash, thank you very much for joining us as well. Appreciate it. And thank you, honestly, a massive thanks to the people who made comments. I realize I don't really know how the heck you found us again, but thank you for staying the course and coming back. I really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. We didn't get a chance to raise all the comments, but it made it. Yes, you're right. Here we go. We're going to do our little thing that we do and get everybody's picture. And I no V signs this time, Remkus. We put that one out last time. That was quite fun. And we will see you next time. Hopefully less technical gremlins. Thank you to our panel. If you want to stick around for a brief chat, we can do. But we will see you guys later. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.
Bye.